Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Across from me, Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam, Papa at the dinner table. Just glad to be a co-host. He's a conservative Republican. And
glad to be anywhere.
Has beans in his ears a lot of the time. On the other side of the glass, so with nothing but good headphones on his ears, is Mr. Rob Center, our producer. So we always appreciate his help and hard work every day. Not just today, but every single day. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor. Oh, I forgot to say Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom.
Is he clacking?
I don't know. He might be having a snack.
He's snacking.
He's noshing. He's either clacking or snacking, one or the other. On the Mark, sponsor for the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That toll-free line is sponsored by some places you should know about. They are the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Route 35 at Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Lewisburg Pharmacy, which is right on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. It is in the building that once housed the Temperance House. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop is on Market Street. They've been in the same spot for 20 years in that little plaza down on Market Street. And Danville Pharmacy is right on Mill Street. They actually have moved in years past, and so they're next to the police station, the other side of the street from where they were before. But Kathy Grandizio would just love to see you again there. Norrie Pharmacies, Duke Street in Northumberland. Duke Street is wide open. We tell you some of these details, like the owners, Terry out at Shade Mountain, Tyler at Trutz, Steve at Norrie, Kathy at Danville, Jennifer's the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad's involved in the ownership at Lewisburg Pharmacy. And because these are not big box stores where every dollar you give them gets sent to China. No, these are local community businesses. These are local community people. These are award-winning people. They've won plaques and honors. They've held school tours. They contribute to charities. And it is just like participating in something that's family. When you go to a hometown pharmacy, it is not just a business. They are there to help you. Super knowledgeable. Drug take back. Some of them got delivery. You name it, they'll take good care of you at the local pharmacies. The hometown pharmacy, Shade Mountain, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. And they would just love to help you. And they sponsor our toll-free line, which is 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Or text us at 70236. Text Connect members have signed up at WKOK.com. Get less than a dozen messages a month. Important breaking national or local news, tornadic weather, road closures. That's what goes out via Text
Dead
Connect.
Dead celebrities. Still doing
that. Oh, that's
them?
True. Yeah, we haven't. Fortunately, we haven't had one of those in a while, but just law of averages.
You had President Bush.
Actually, we did not text connect that because the news broke during the overnight hours.
Oh, okay.
And by the time 7 o'clock rolled around, which is the start time for what we call informational text connect messages that are just, you know, breaking national stories that don't necessarily affect your day-to-day operations, 7 a.m. is the start time on those. So we did not do that. By then, the national news was out and we were talking about it.
So if it happens at 6:59 a.m., you don't cover it.
Well, we cover it. We just don't wake you up.
Okay. Dan from Elysburg sent us a note. He said, I thought I heard one of your callers on Monday say that you will shortly be able to turn left onto 11 and 15 South when coming across the Vet Memorial Bridge from Sunbury. I proposed this several years ago. Nice to see PennDOT has a good memory. I assume there must be other changes coming that makes this a good idea. I'm sorry to break your bubble, Dan, from Elysburg, but the only time that is even under consideration would be once the new bypass is completed, and that's a few years down the road. But right now, if you make a left turn off the Baldwin Boulevard exit, now you have a wonderful circle there to make a left-hand turn going down and around. You have plenty of room to stack up.
And lefts are the most crash-prone turn you can make.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Well, we have some, you know, it's very dangerous when people come off that Baldwin Boulevard exit. They don't like to sit in the loop waiting to get out onto 11 and 15. So every afternoon at about 4 o'clock, you'll see a parade of people who come down. Some of them are just aggressive enough to make the direct left-hand turn out of the Baldwin Boulevard exit. Most of them pull into the shopping center or into a make a U-turn at the end of the little island there, which is also illegal, and then pull out. But if you know, if you pull in and pull into the shopping center and come out the shopping center exit and then come out at the light, you're okay. You know, the shopping center may not like that.
No, it's private
property.
But it's
not illegal.
But you should make it so that people can turn left there now.
Why? And there's that beautiful loop there that lets people stack up and get out onto the highway.
Oh, no. You should be able to turn left there for a couple of reasons. One is it's easier when you're coming off there rather than merging. It's so much easier to wait for the traffic light and you just turn left. If you merge, it takes a lot of consideration. And secondly, sometimes the loop is stacked up. You go down to Baldwin Boulevard, turn left, you end up in the passing lane
you
as you start. You
forget that there are two lanes coming out of Baldwin Boulevard for left-hand turns and right-hand turns.
I understand.
And that creates a traffic deadlock when you have people who are also coming off the bridge trying to make a left-hand turn. Yes.
No. The lefties.
I'm there every day, five
The lefties offset the other lefties.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Because you have people who are also coming out of there turning right, and they're filling up the two lanes.
This is proof that you're a shill for PennDOT. You won't see what is clearly a simple vision.
I'm a shill for the borough of Shamokin Dam.
Well, either way, the fact is that they brainwashed into thinking that that left off the Baldwin Boulevard is a bad idea. It's a fabulous idea. It's a real game changer for traffic. It should be allowed. And fortunately, PennDOT has seen the light, and once they add another unnecessary...
That's still up for debate.
Right. Once they add another unnecessary light there, they are going to consider allowing left turns off Baldwin Boulevard. And they recognize it as a wise idea, and so hopefully you'll be able to do it in the years ahead. I'm going to give it my full advocacy. You'll see me at some of the PennDOT regional meetings saying, I don't really care about the bypass or the additional 15 lights on 11 and 15. I just think the fact is we should be allowed to turn left off Baldwin Boulevard. It just makes perfect sense. Likewise, you should be able to drive on the shoulder there to turn right if you're going north on 15. But I know you don't like
You're
that.
You're an
either.
Anarchist. You know that.
No. I'm a common censor, and you are not an anarchist. Well, you're an archist, but I'm a common censor.
The final design of the bypass may make this something that happens. It may also not make it something that happens.
Right. Yeah, that's under consideration.
The important point is that right now, the people who do that are breaking the law, and if the police see them, and the police do see them, they will be ticketed, and they will have to pay a substantial fine.
Okay.
So there are signs in front of you, and they're on the road. It's written no turns. There are signs on each side saying no turns. There's a sign on the light above, which you have to look at to determine whether or not you can go, that says no turns.
Right. No, I understand.
So
it's
there
well
is
marked.
Zero tolerance for people who actually do turn there.
Right. No, I get that. I understand it's well signed. It's just a bad idea to do the signs and to do the rule, but it's a good idea that you have it well marked, you know, maybe that rather than just one sign or something. I think there's, three different signs. One's on the light standard, and there's two on each side of the ramp.
And on the road. It's
right.
Painted on the road. No turns.
Oh, okay. No turn. You can only go straight.
So unless you're driving through there blindfolded, there is no way you can miss the sign. And then, you know, the defense people say, my GPS system told me to come this way. Well, I don't know what GPS system they have. But mine doesn't tell me to go that way when I pull off the bridge and tell it I'm headed to Sealands Grove.
Well, I was surprised yesterday when my GPS sent me through Sunbury to get home. Now, that's normal, to get home to Northumberland. But instead of on Front Street, it diverted me to 2nd Street and then down to 4th Street because traffic was backed up for the bridge, and then on to Shikellamy Avenue, sort of the cheating way to get past the Front Street line.
Did it work?
I didn't do it. I went to Lewisburg. It was faster to go through. It was faster. It was 28 minutes via Sunbury on 4th Street and 2nd Street, you know, snaking around until you get to Shikellamy Avenue because they were working on the Priestley Bridge.
Right.
And then it was only like 24 minutes or 26 minutes to go through Lewisburg. So I went through Lewisburg. Plus, if you go through Lewisburg, most of the time you're not stopped at a light or stopped in traffic. You know, there are some stop signs and traffic signals there, but you know, those are just incidental till you get home.
Well, the big complaint these days in the borough is 8th Avenue, where the gas company is making a career, a lifelong career, out of digging up the street.
Well, fortunately,
they dig it it up, they cover it up, they dig it up, they cover it up. When are they going to be
done? I drove by Friday. They had finished up. They'd closed it all up.
So. Well, they opened it up again yesterday.
Oh, they opened up those holes
again. And it's
opened
again this morning, right. They put metal plates over them, which make it impossible for people to get traction. I can't imagine what in heaven's name they'd be doing in there. They keep doing it and undoing it and doing it and undoing it.
Well, they have to put in new cast iron pipes, and they're casting the pipes there in the hole.
I think they're digging for the metal to make the pipes.
Right. They're going down to... Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Must be some sort of a valve or something that requires them. That work's going on for about, 4 weeks?
It seems like the last 2 years to me, but...
Okay. It seems like 3 weeks ago a truck fell into there, so
yes,
that's where they were working.
That was on, the first or second day they had it open.
Okay.
That's when they were working further down. Now it all seems to be right at the intersection.
Hmm.
With, it makes it difficult
for
the businesses.
What's that cross street there, the Aldi Outlet plus?
8th.
8th, okay.
8th and 11 and 15.
Okay.
So traffic is coming up on 11th, which makes the getting out there more difficult. So
I like the fact that if you go through the underpass in Northumberland, nobody's working. They got their permission to work through the winter.
But nobody's doing it.
No one's been there since. So, yeah, my theory on that is that they've asked
I think they're waiting for the cement to cure, aren't they? So they can move to the other side?
I have no idea. Yeah, that could be. I mean, they may have a valid reason. I'm just saying it's funny they got their permission, which was hard fought, got it, and then they haven't been back to the scene since. Maybe they're out deer hunting, so...
Well, we have some unfinished business that we should mention. I thought this was interesting. In a story this morning from Penn Live, John Bogie, who is their crack reporter from up in the Williamsport area, wrote a story on something we discussed last week, that Shamokin area teacher who was fired for being pregnant. And unwed. And this is John's Bogie story. He says, a member of Our Lady of Lourdes Regional School Board, upset over the termination of an unwed pregnant teacher, has retained an attorney to help her get reinstated. We all know there's been an injustice and mistake, Tony Verano said Monday in explaining why he hired a lawyer for the Ms. Reich, who was 31 and was fired December 7th for violating the Catholic school's morality clause. Nearly all 16 school board members, excluding the three priests and two sisters, have indicated to him they want Reich reinstated. Board members were upset upon learning of the termination because the school principal, Marianne Bednar, did not consult them, Verano said. Because it's a personnel matter, the diocese isn't commenting at this time. Until Bednar took over in September, the board was apprised if there was a problem with a teacher or student, Verano said. He said Bednar rules with an iron fist, so to speak. Here again, Reich was fired after informing the school she was 12 weeks pregnant and had no immediate plans to marry her child's father, with whom she is living. Verano contends if the archaic and barbaric morality clause would be enforced to the letter, other teachers would also be in violation. He claims the first reason given for the termination was pregnancy, but that was later changed to cohabiting. Violation of the Sixth Commandment, adultery, was the answer Verano said he received from the diocese bishop, Ronald W. Gaynor, when asked for a reason for the termination. There was no reason from Bednar when she was asked if Reich would be reinstated if she obtained a separate address. Attempts to reach Bednar were not successful. The entire situation has been poorly handled, Verano charges. He noted the diocese failed to provide Reich appeal documents until the deadline to file them. She has been given an extension since, he said. The public is outraged at what happened to Reich, he said. She has been getting emails from students and parents telling her they want her back. She taught 8th, 10th, and 11th grade English. And he says, I don't think anyone wants a legal fight. She wants reinstated. If she is reinstated, all will be forgiven and forgotten.
If she gets married?
If she gets reinstated.
Oh, if she, okay. All right, I
regardless
okay.
of the,
right,
regardless
if she does
of the
get
morality
back.
Clause. So which is it? As if the bishop says it's cohabiting, which in the Catholic Church parlance is adultery. I mean, you don't have to be married to someone to do that. I mean, just living together is considered that, I guess, in the Catholic Church.
Well, and last week you argued that they should let her back, that there should be some forgiveness or maybe a prayerful opportunity to allow her to teach, but to make her their project, that they're going to pray over her and make sure that she understands the Catholicism's strong rules related to this. I argue that the termination was perfectly justified because she had a morality clause when she came on board. Getting pregnant out of wedlock is a morality issue within the Catholic Church. She certainly knew that. I mean, it would be like if you were a postal carrier for the U.S. Postal Service and announced that you could not walk anymore. You could not be in compliance with what they hired you to do, or you got hired here and
stop and think for a minute.
You were
the Americans
a mute.
With Disabilities Act would require you to make an accommodation.
If you were already working for the post office and became unable to walk, that's true. But, for example, we wouldn't hire somebody here who was mute. I mean, how could you communicate on the radio? So she is an individual that has rights, including the idea that she should have known when she was hired that these are a set of rules. Every business has rules, and you can let people go at will if they're out of compliance with those. I argue that this was perfectly. The termination was appropriate. If she wishes to get married, she can do so. And that's, but you know, here these teachers, and I'm sure the popular sentiment is that you should let her stay. And me personally,
it
I guess.
It is the popular sentiment.
Right. But I just, and I think me personally, I think it would be wonderful they would let her stay. But the fact is, the termination was perfectly appropriate and in compliance with the church's rules.
Well, and you know, the optics here are terrible. This is a church that, you know, preaches love and forgiveness, and here we have a situation where, and, you know, the worst thing I hear when I go to Catholic Church, I attend Mass regularly, you know, abortion, it's terrible. But mm-hmm. if she had had an abortion quietly and never said anything, you know,
she'd still
have her job.
Well,
but here she and her partner lovingly want to bring a child into the world, and I presume raise it as a Catholic, and she gets fired for that.
Well, and somebody put a meme on Facebook that they generated for Lourdes High School saying, this isn't the first time the church has, the first time the establishment has turned away an unwed pregnant woman.
Yes.
Referring to Mary at the inn. So, all right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Mike, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
How does the anything to do with the Catholic Church maintain any kind of credibility for making rules or regulations about people's behavior? I mean, they want to squash this teacher into the ground for adultery, but while they're shuttling and covering up pedophile priests, shuttling them around the country to cover up their heinous crimes to society.
Not anymore.
I don't get where the Catholic Church's credibility on this kind of stuff holds any water anymore.
Well, they don't have the moral high ground, I don't think.
Of course not. I mean, you know, that's a stupid rule. Adultery. I mean, yeah, do you have to be a Catholic for one? For starters, you have to be a Catholic.
No, she's this teacher. No, this teacher's not Catholic. She's not a member of the Catholic.
She has a different set of moral norms that she lives by that aren't necessary.
Well,
and
but
good for her. I mean, who would want to be a Catholic right now?
Well, the thing is, and Mark's right about this. She was asked, as a condition of employment, to sign a consent form saying that she, even though she wasn't a Catholic, agreed to be bound by Catholic norms and Catholic teachings. You know, she doesn't have to practice the faith, but she can't come into the classroom and say, okay, abortion's okay, when the Catholic Church says it isn't.
Priests and cardinals sign a consent form promising not to fool around with the little boys and girls
well,
and their parishes?
All right, Mike, let's stipulate that the Catholic Church has had a terrible legacy of
pedophilia. Yeah, that they
pedophilia.
Created themselves, but it's not a legacy. It's something that they actually created themselves.
Right, okay, so let's just
behavior.
Stipulate that. Okay, so that's in the past. Let's talk about...
Oh, no. There's articles about pedophile priests in the paper still every day, different places around the country
okay,
and around the world.
It's no longer...
Why is that in the past?
It's not a widespread ongoing conspiracy. It may be an occurrence today, but it's not an ongoing issue.
Well, Anthony, you really don't know that. You know, these things
you
come
think
up
they're when, still covering up
well,
the priests?
Well, I don't know that. I don't think they're covering up, but I think pedophilia could still be going on, you know, and you have other places like New York, which is just beginning their investigations.
Yeah, which isn't as far along as Pennsylvania.
So I agree with you, it's probably more in the past that it happened, but it's just now coming out, and it's devastating.
Well, and I think, how about this? Okay, let's assume the Catholic Church has a terrible record on morality, period. Let's stipulate that. Okay, so Mike, you and I are now in agreement. Why stay that way?
Very adamant, but I'll go along with
well,
that.
Okay, so now that we've stipulated that, let's go forward. Let's claw back to the moral high ground that you and Joe agree on. Let's get back to what is ideal in terms of the religiosity that they hope to pass on to students. Let's make the church as moral as humanly possible. Let's get rid of all the pedophile priests from the past. Let's make sure that our teachers are in compliance with our moral clauses. Let's reclaim the high ground. What's wrong with that? That's a hopeful future.
Well, let me argue.
So what you're trying? Are you trying to tell me that hammering this young girl into the ground is somehow the Catholic Church version of regaining the moral high ground?
Well, this is one incident, but all over the country, and for as long as you and I have been alive, Mike, this has been happening, that teachers who have taught in the Catholic school that are out of compliance with the morality clause have been let go.
Okay, but let's look at this. The bishop has said, and all the bishops in Pennsylvania have issued statements saying, you know, please forgive us for what has happened. And they're asking us as members of the church to forgive them for allowing this to go on. But they can't forgive a woman for having a child?
Well, I think what they're saying related to the priests. Hold on, one split second.
I'm amazed. I keep finding myself agreeing with the conservative guy on this particular issue. it astounds me.
Well, yeah, Joe and I flipped roles on this for some reason. I don't know why. But Joe's more forgiving on this.
He's absolutely right. I mean, this is supposed to be Christianity, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, but there's a key phrase here that applies. One, we had pedophile priests and cover-ups. We've tried to put that in the past. We're trying to go forward without that happening at all whatsoever anymore. Now we have a teacher who's out of compliance with our immorality clause. Let's go forward without that violation of a morality clause happening at all whatsoever anymore. Now, unless she gets married, the only way for them to go forward and, you know, to stay in compliance with all of the rules is to let her go. Now, she could get married, and that would solve this for now. Thank you so much, Mike. Really?
Oh, she would get married.
Go ahead.
How would that solve it?
Well, I think being unwed is the violation here. Plus, in cohabitating, I think is
so. In other words, it's okay to. It's
factor.
Not okay to be unwed and conceive a child. But then, if you get married, it's okay suddenly.
Catholic women have been doing that for centuries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. There are many a Catholic and many other Protestant women, and many women, period, who have a three-month-old at their first wedding anniversary. There's no argument about that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Please call us right now. We're arguing about the fact that one particular school board member of the Lord's Regional Council, not the public school board, has helped hire an attorney for the teacher who was let go at Lord's Regional, and she does have her appeal paper, so we'll see what she does. 1-800-795-9565. What's your view on this?
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yeah, the trouble is this teacher is teaching something they don't want them to know. So,
right.
How to cohabitate and get prayers on your own. One of our listeners back on the ramp conversation sends us a note.
Says, good morning. In my opinion, Joe is like PennDOT. He wants traffic jammed up on the ramp. That's one reason why there is no left turn from Sunbury side to Baldwin Boulevard. Plus, the local police can sit on the off-ramp and watch all traffic going that way. The ramp might not back up as much if the right lane didn't trap truck traffic in the right lane. Who made that restriction?
Yeah, that should be a two-lane off-ramp there, and left turns permitted. I mean, if you wanted to be traffic-friendly, if you want to keep on being a shill and traffic-unfriendly...
Mark, when traffic is turning right coming out of an intersection, and it usually the Orchard Hill Shopping Center is very busy these days, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of cars coming out, some of them headed toward Lewisburg and Northumberland area. They come out of there, and then you have traffic coming off the bridge that wants to turn south. You have a traffic jam instantly. Because you do.
Do not.
For heaven's sake, you offset. Need to go back. They do not offset.
They do. They most certainly do.
They certainly do not.
We're going to have to argue this off, Mike. I'm going to have to get a little map out and show Joe what's really happening. Oh,
and
you
also,
can't see the intersection here.
As I pointed out to you before, enough people back up on that light trying to make a left-hand turn or go into the shopping center to turn around to avoid the ramp, and then traffic toward Lewisburg gets backed up because they can't get to their lane.
Look, Joe, here's somebody coming down the ramp, and they're going to go left, okay? So they go into the passing lane. Here's somebody coming out Baldwin, and they're going to...
What about the people coming out here who want to go north?
Okay. Look where the arrow is.
You're not paying attention.
Okay.
You're creating a bad situation that will lead to accidents and problems.
Oh, my gosh.
You
Joe,
are. Pay attention.
Joe. There you go again. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. We'll be back arguing momentarily.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by TheraWorks Relief.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump is getting ready to meet with top congressional Democrats with the possibility of a partial government shutdown hanging in the balance. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is at the White House.
Ahead of a meeting with the woman who would be Speaker of the House and her Senate counterpart, the president insists that Democrats back his push for more border wall funding. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer say they'd support $1.3 billion for border fencing. Mr. Trump demands $5 billion for his border wall, and he says if Democrats don't get behind it, he'll have the military build the remaining sections. How he would do that without a congressional appropriation isn't clear.
CBS News has learned the president's top two contenders for chief of staff are acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker and North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Meadows tells Fox News,
I can say this, that because it's an honor, certainly I'm favorably inclined to at least have a discussion with the president. I have not.
In a tweet this past half hour, Mr. Trump insists over 10 people are vying for the job. His first choice, Nick Ayers, turned him down Sunday. Southerners are still struggling to recover from the worst snowstorm to hit the region in almost 20 years.
I'm out of power right much.
Kenny Rains in Elliston, Virginia is one of about 75,000 customers without electricity.
We got plenty of wood, got liners and candles.
Duke Energy says it'll be another day or two before everyone is back online. Many roads are still covered with snow and black ice. Schools are closed for a second day. Having a baby may not lower a woman's risk of breast cancer after all. A study from the University of North Carolina finds a higher risk for mothers than for women who don't give birth. CBS's Dr. David Agus.
This does change our screening criteria. Now we're going to ask, when was your last child, when we determine your risk to determine if you should be screened or not.
Time magazine has chosen its People of the Year. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
Four journalists and a newspaper, the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, which lost five people to a deranged gunman last June. The journalists honored include slain Saudi commentator Jamal Khashoggi.
This is the first time we've ever chosen someone no longer alive mm-hmm. as Person of the Year, but it's also very rare a person's influence grows so immensely in death.
Time editor Edward Felsenthal on NBC's Today Show on what Time is calling the Guardians and the War on Truth. Deborah.
The woman who paved the way for modern-day computers has died. Marilyn Berezin built the first word processor in the early 70s. Pop culture expert Robert Thompson.
What Evelyn Berezin did, I think, deserves to make her an important part of the history of the development of American technology, and for that matter, the history of American business and writing.
Berezin was 93. This is CBS News.
To experience relief from muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief Fast-Acting Foam. Get TheraWorks Relief today in the pain relief aisle at your local pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Dell's dedicated small business advisors give you tech advice and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. And now's the time to save on select business PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors until the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget and find the right tech solution for your business. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
They're putting dreaded bugs to good use in East Asia.
China is taking a unique approach to garbage disposal, bugs. Jinan, the capital of Shandong province, is using cockroaches to get rid of an estimated 50 tons of food scraps and other kitchen garbage each day. Jinan's facility is home to an estimated 1 billion cockroaches with big appetites, and 3 more such plants are set to open next year. And when the roaches are set to retire, they themselves become a high-protein food source for pigs and other livestock. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Streaming wasn't even invented when these guys burst onto the music scene.
Is this the
Thanks to the new movie about Queen's Freddie Mercury, 1975's Bohemian Rhapsody is now the most streamed classic rock song of all time. 5 weeks after its release, the film is the highest-grossing music biopic in history. It's brought in more than $596 million globally. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI. Because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. Shill for PennDOT. Joe McGranahan is with us. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. We just had a visit from Matt Cotrillo, our crack news director. He's back in the newsroom now. He is clackety-clacking now, he says. So he's working hard at work over there. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemarket@kok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. The Sunbury Riverfront outdoor seating venue is now named the Jesse C. Woodring Amphitheater. Do you listen to church music over there?
No, it just send it off.
All right. At Monday night's city council meeting, the council voted to name the amphitheater after the late mayor who died November 19th. Current mayor Kurt Karlovich said Woodring was a prominent citizen and businessman, and he wanted to honor Woodring in that way.
Good for them. I can't think of anybody more deserving of that kind of an honor than Jesse Woodring. He was a great man, a great friend, and a continuous booster for Sunbury and things of Sunbury. So it's fitting and proper that the council votes to do that.
All right. Well, 30 years from now, there's going to be the Joe McGranahan Memorial left turn opportunity at the end of the Baldwin Boulevard. And hopefully they'll reconfigure the intersection so it won't lead to any collisions.
Why don't you tell people you admitted you were wrong during the break?
Oh, it isn't. You're right. Okay, I will concede this. The intersection's not set up for that right now. It does have to be, the corner needs to be cut off a little bit so that it makes the left turn easier. But that should be done.
You never give up, do you?
I'm just saying. Anyway, earlier we told you about the Sunbury Municipal Authority raising water rates in Sunbury. We talked to the Municipal Authority General Manager, Dan Raymer, who tells us the biggest reasons for the increases are the ongoing reduction in water usage, especially over the last 4 years. That's due to a loss of industry over the years. And Raymer says, additionally, people in the city are conserving water. Of course, rates go up and people conserve more, and then rates go up and people conserve more. So that's a cycle. That's due to the large... Also, the authority is still recovering from a DEP-imposed $20,000 fee imposed in 2009. Raymer tells us, despite these obstacles, the municipal authority didn't increase last year's water rates as much as they should have. And likewise, this year still won't cover all of their projected expenses. The good news, of course, sewer, flood control, solid waste, and recycling fees will stay the same next year. A Mississippi high school has banned students from wearing a class T-shirt that lists the names of three seniors who died this year and the dismissive phrase, "Bye, Felicia." The Sun-Herald of Biloxi reports that the school superintendent Friday banned the shirts from school property and events. Students Thursday started receiving the shirts that featured the phrase first used by Ice Cube in the 1990 film Friday as a cold way of saying goodbye and good riddance. The high school administrator, staff, and students designed the shirts. The principal says that the seniors' names were probably included in an effort to honor them, but they weren't in on the design that had been approved, meaning the superintendent wasn't in on the design that has been approved. He said the school district will pay for the students to get their new senior class shirts. Bye, Felicia. Have you ever heard that phrase?
No,
I didn't. Apparently, everybody else has. It's a phrase that means...
I thought that was the name of one of the children who was killed in the wreck.
No. Felicia's a general name from that movie, and it means goodbye and good riddance. Or goodbye and good luck, I guess. Like, get out of here.
I hope not good riddance. That would be totally inappropriate.
Yeah, I think it means like they're gone too soon or something. They're leaving too soon. All right, anyway... A survey says Americans today are more likely to get news from social media than newspapers. Well, duh. The Pew Research Center said Monday that 20% of Americans cited social media as a frequent news source compared to 16% that cite newspapers. It's the first time since Pew has found that sites like Facebook and Twitter outpacing newspapers. Pew has been asking about the news consumption with a slight change in wording since 1991. That year, 56% of Americans said newspapers when asked where they'd gotten their news yesterday. The survey also found that 81% of people aged 65 and over often get news from television compared to only 16% of people aged 18 to 29. Period. And of course, smart people, 100% of smart people get their news from radio. And WKOK.com. That's not Pew research. That's common sense research.
That's Lawrence's
that's
worthless wisdom.
I'm a shill for WKOK.
Thought you were going to say that's Lawrence's worthless wisdom.
Well, it is all of that and then some. All right, now you know some more nonsense, as my father would say.
Well, good. You have the Eastern distributor of it, actually.
Nonsense. Thank you. Yeah, boy.
All right.
All right. What else is cooking?
Well, we have this Virginia teacher we talked about briefly yesterday who was fired for something he didn't say. The West Point School Board in Virginia reportedly decided to terminate one of their teachers on last Thursday, because he refused to use the pronouns that a transgender student identified with. Peter Vlaming, who taught French at West Point High School, lost his job after the board made the unanimous 5-0 decision following hearing, according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. As detailed during the course of the public hearing, Mr. Vlaming was recommended for termination due to his insubordination and repeated refusal to comply with directives made to him by multiple WPPS administrators, West Point School Superintendent Laura Abel said in a statement obtained by the outlet. The situation reportedly came about after the 9th-grade student transitioned from a girl to a boy, following which the school was notified. Vlaming was the student's teacher during the previous school year, at which time they identified as a female, he told the outlet. While Vlaming conceded to referring to the student by their male name, he refrained from addressing him by any identifying pronoun, the Times-Dispatch said. He reportedly cited his belief as a Christian as the reason why he wouldn't use male pronouns for the student. Now, should he be fired for that? The student revealed that the situation left him feeling ostracized, the outlet said, and school officials reportedly backed the pupil. That discrimination then leads to a hostile learning environment, and the student has expressed that the parent had expressed that as well. They felt disrespected.
All right, so we have a teacher who had a student last year, but not this year.
Who was a girl.
Right.
And is now a boy.
Now a boy. And so let's suppose his name was Roberta, and now her name, or his name was Robert. Now her name is Roberta. So now we're in present day. Her name is Roberta. She's a she. So, and he does use the name Roberta, for example, but he doesn't use any
personal pronouns. He will not call her a she.
Okay.
In other words, it's he's okay with her, him, her changing her name.
Right.
In other words, if you wanted to become Marcatia, he would have no problem with that. He would call you that.
I'd be a Marsha.
But he would not address you as she when you are bearded and obviously a male.
No. Well, but my question is, if he is not her teacher anymore, why does it matter? Where does he encounter her that he would be asked to call her and won't do it?
Well, that's a good question.
That's not in there. I did read all the way to the end of the article. That's not there. That is, I mean, that's a passing question. But the fact of the matter is, the school says that there is some time when he does come across her, and he won't refer to her as her.
Well, it says in the story, Vlaming is not being accused of intentionally referring to the student as a female while he was around, the outlet noted. However, he did reportedly use female associations when talking to other people. So apparently he said it to other people.
Right. So he holds this doesn't show to the student.
Right. So if I'm talking to you and I don't use that, so he's being fired for not something he did to the student or said to the student. You know, he just didn't use personal pronouns. And I guess they told him.
In conversations with other people.
Well, no, I'm with the student. I mean, he's guilty of two things. He's guilty, according to this, of using the wrong personal pronouns when speaking to people who are not the student or involved with the student.
All right, so he's telling his fellow teachers that she's still a he.
He's still a she.
Oh,
started
okay.
out as a she, now
oh,
a he.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, but when he talks to her, he just uses the name. Won't use the personal pronouns, despite the fact he was told to use the proper personal pronouns. He's saying because of his faith, he won't do that.
Well, first of all, he's out of compliance with school district policy that says you're supposed to respect students and use their name, that you know, their gender identity that they identify with, even if you happen to know that they were.
But he is. He's calling her by her new name.
The new name, right, but not the correct pronoun. So that's disrespectful.
Well, why do I have to use the pronoun if I refer to you?
But the other aspect of this is that his whole premise that he's using his Christian faith to diss this student or to not respect this student, that's wrong too. You know, I think your faith calls you to love everybody, not to disrespect them at the soonest possible opportunity because you disagree with their transgender decision.
Well, now you're on the other side of the argument. You just took the other side of a few minutes ago when we were talking about that teacher's fired from the Catholic school.
Well, you could argue that somebody's Christian beliefs don't matter in the public school. That behavior clause for teachers, maybe some have some elements of faith-related things in it, but it doesn't relate to faith.
Okay.
So you can't say, well, I know the the school district says I have to use the proper pronoun for him, but I'll tell you what, I know that he's a she, and I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in transgender, which that's a load of bull, too. But anyway.
How many times am I using a personal pronoun when I'm talking directly to you? I mean, I use the word you if I say you are doing this or you are doing that, but I don't say him or she when I'm referring to you. I would say Mark or I would use the word you. So why would that even come up? The fact that he didn't use the proper personal pronoun. Maybe in talking to the other people in the class, if he said something like she will do this or he will do that.
Okay.
But if he said instead, Roberta will do that or Robert will do that, why is that wrong?
I guess
he... How is that disrespecting anybody?
I don't know. He's not recognizing the transgender nature of the student, the fact that he has transitioned.
Oh, you have to recognize the transition. I thought the whole idea was that they wanted
to
become something different and then live that way.
You have to respect it. Apparently he isn't in the school district's
mind. But he is if he calls... if he's talking
to other people. The new name, right? He is using the new name.
Okay.
But he's with other people and he still calls him or her.
Let's say that we both knew somebody who had transitioned from female to male.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are discussing that person here. We're not on the air. We're just you and me talking.
Okay.
And I say, have you seen Roberta?
Mm-hmm.
He's gone from a female to a male. Or have you seen Robert lately? How is Robert doing? Or if I said, how is he doing? Or how is she doing? You know, how is that disrespecting anybody? I'm talking to you, a third party. You're not involved in it at all.
I am. You're asking me to speculate on something we don't know. I don't know why. Well,
it's certainly not a fireable offense.
Yeah, for instance, that's certainly not. There's nothing wrong with that here. But
that's what he's accused
of
doing.
But he must be accused of not doing it during some sort of an official conversation, not just a casual off-mic conversation you and I between on-air segments, which is different. Those are completely off the record.
Right.
What gets said off mic here stays off mic.
But still, it's the same principle that he's been fired for because he apparently used the wrong pronouns when talking to others, didn't use any pronouns when talking to the student, but addressed the student by the name the student adopted.
Yeah, we need some more information on this, but the bottom...
You don't fire somebody for that.
Well, the bottom line is the board and the administration and the principals feel that this amounts to discrimination. The student felt ostracized, so the teacher's actions led to some form of discrimination and led to the student feeling ostracized. So that's the issue here. That's the real bottom line because that's where the district says that this teacher is out of compliance with
those
rules.
But don't you just think the very act of transitioning, last year you were Robert and now you're back as Roberta, don't you think you brought on a certain amount of that yourself with respect to the other students who
right.
now
this
know what you were and
this
now
isn't
you're not
confusion,
that?
Though, Joe. This isn't confusion. This is a deliberate reluctance on the teacher's part to recognize that the student is now a he and to use the old gender pronoun for this student.
No, but he didn't use it
out
to
of
the student.
Not to the student, no, but to other official conversations.
So, in other words, now conversations I have about somebody that they aren't involved in, I'm no longer allowed to speak that way?
1-800-795-9565. Don't make Joe and I argue this forever without joining in. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends a note with the subject, BS, stop. I cannot wait to see what that's all about. Frank, you're on the mark. Thanks so much for calling in.
Wow. This is a conversation. And I'm just going to go back to something I remember. You know the famous program that's ongoing, Survivor?
It's, right.
You know, people go to an island, they have to live, survive, and it's all mixed culture types of people. There's gay people, there's straight people, all kinds of people have to live together and endure 40 days and so on. But anyway, there was a point where I remember almost, you know, spit my coffee up when I heard... It was the first episode, there was a guy who was an Army retiree, and there was a young guy who was openly gay. On CBS, while it was being aired, the general just openly called the guy a queer, all right? I don't know if you remember that. You Google it, it's one of the most famous scenes in Survivor. And he never apologized for it. He was never sued for it, but he called it out as he thought and felt it was. Now, that was probably 18 years ago. In the timeline of today, probably someone would be held up in court and sued if they used that kind of language. I just find it very disturbing, the culture that we live in, the transgender, how things are, seem almost like it's a fad, or just see it, someone decides, oh, I'm not going to be a boy anymore, I want to be a girl, or a girl transitions into a boy. It's culture. It's crazy.
Well, queer is a term that individuals are using for self-identification now, so nowadays it's back in the lexicon as for...
But isn't that very similar to the use of the N-word? It's okay for them to use it, but not okay for us to use it?
Yeah, they're not using it in a disparaging term. They're using it as a self-description for anybody who's...
Well, it's the same thing with the N-word and the use by black
believe
people.
It would have to do with their sexuality, you know,
right.
who
well,
they're
I just
attracted
found that entire
to.
Episode of Survivor just fascinating, and the man, the general, or the Marine never apologized. He says, well, you are, that's what you are. And I remember they do the after show kind of discussion. They went back to that very subject. You addressed him constantly as a, and he says, I make no apologies for it. And if you look it up, the old episodes, it's just kind of fascinating because it created a lot of animosity back then. I think it was a 2002 episodes.
Was that the first season? Was that the first season? Because the guy who won the first season was openly gay.
Oh.
Okay. So
was that the naked man?
I don't remember his name, but he subsequently came back and competed again. And
that was Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch. That's right.
Okay. He was gay and naked, right?
All right. Some spin on the thoughts. All right. Hey, good conversation, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. We do have an email on this topic. It says, in Marktopia, anything that upsets the current apple cart of morality is necessarily good and must be respected. He is the reason that civilization is becoming degenerate. Woe unto him.
All right.
And that would be you.
Well, I understand a lot of Christians feel as though recognizing transgender is something that's against their beliefs. I get that. You know, I'm a lay leader in the Lutheran Church. There are many, many Lutherans who say that they don't believe in transgenderism, or they don't think it's appropriate, or they think it's degenerate like this. They have worse names than that for it. But the fact of the matter is, we're not called upon to be the judges of someone else's decision to transition or to recognize their sexuality or to recognize their gender, scratch sexuality, but to recognize their gender.
I agree with you that that's, you're right. I mean, I think that's beyond what we are capable of doing. I think we should respect people's decisions in that regard. But on the other hand, to fire somebody because they don't, in other words, it's one thing to accept somebody, it's another to embrace their lifestyle.
The school district feels...
Can I accept you without embracing your lifestyle?
All right, as I said, we don't have all the information on this, but we do have a good clipping, which we'll be more than happy to share with anybody who wants to see it. Just email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and we'll send it back to you. It's from Fox?
I don't know who this is from.
You don't have the attribution. Well, it'd be anybody.
I'd have the author's name, but I don't see where it's from.
In any event, the school felt it rose to the level of discrimination. And to our audience, I say, what say you? Call us now. Call me a degenerate or whatever you want. The fact of the matter is that
degenerate.
Shill. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is the hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. We are talking about a teacher terminated because he discriminated against a student by refusing to use the new gender pronouns for a student.
While using his name.
He did use his proper name, but not the student's new proper gender pronoun.
I decided to write a little song. Here goes. My hometown pharmacy is great because of all these things. Personalized service, friendly employees. They're always glad to see me. They help out my whole family. My grandmom really likes them, and she's super picky. They know me by my nickname. Bet you still can't guess mine. Ha, ha, ha. Pharmacists who care, really low prices and all that other stuff that my mom likes, but I just don't understand. Happy holidays from me, Hometown Kid, and from everyone at the Hometown Pharmacies in Bloomsburg, Northumberland, Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Mifflinburg, and Danville. And Happy New Year. P.S. My nickname is not Hometown Kid.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to stick with this topic, the transgender conversation. Sandra's on the line, new caller from Danville. Thank you so much for calling in, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi.
With the whole school thing that you guys are talking about, like, my fiance actually lost custody of his daughter, who is transgender, and even like the courts, they wouldn't get like he, she, the names right. But even as like with him, like as a father, like he has like no rights at all with any of this.
Well, how could they terminate his rights for that? I don't understand.
Oh, they did. They did, just because they wouldn't touch the topic. And
this is here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's actually Northumberland County.
Huh. And so they took his rights away. Run that by us again. Why did they take his rights away?
They took his rights away because he didn't have a say. He accepts the way she is, but he wouldn't because of him being her father. Like, he didn't want to call her by the male name.
Okay, so she transitioned from female to male, and her father refused to acknowledge that, or just wouldn't call her by the pronouns?
Just wouldn't call her by the pronouns, basically.
And the court was already involved in some decision-making about custody and that sort of thing, and parental rights?
Yeah.
Or did this start the argument in court? So you say the court terminated parental rights.
Yeah, like, it started with the court.
Oh, so this was the beginning.
But they terminated his rights as a father because he wouldn't recognize her by the male name instead of the female name.
Did he appeal that, or was it just too expensive to appeal?
That, I'm not too sure. I try to keep out of it as much as possible.
I don't blame you.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, my feelings are, like, even, like, with her, like, she wants everybody to accept how she is, which is fine, but, like, she doesn't accept other people the way they are. So, like, she used, like, the whole transgender as an out to, you know, maybe to, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting that a judge in Northumberland County would rule that way. You know, this is a conservative area, and I would think the law here is still up in the air, I think, largely, because we're not looking to drag this topic up every day. But as I said to Mark, it keeps coming up in slightly different ways because it pushes the boundaries of what we know and what we accept. And that always leads to problems in society.
Right. And as our society becomes more respectful and accepting of individuals who are transgender, of course, we had our conversation. I looked at our archives. It's back in March of 2017 about the restroom controversy. And a lot of people said they were going to boycott Target. And that's where a lot of the discussion was very, very, very vibrant.
Of course, they were Selins Grove School District, too, at the time.
Right. Well, yeah. And we have transgender students at Selins Grove who reached out to us and, you know, spoke to us about teachers there who would not use their wouldn't use their name or wouldn't recognize that they were transgender. So I hope the administration dealt with those individuals. But you're here to tell us that a father who had some element of custody lost his parental rights because he refused to recognize that his daughter had transitioned to male.
Yep.
That
and
was
in the Northumberland County courts.
Yep.
Okay. Well, and as Joe pointed out, the fact that courts are starting to recognize and school districts and municipalities are starting to recognize that individuals with transgenders have rights, individuals who go against that are discriminating or, not giving the full respect to these individuals. So I think this is going to continue.
A father, I would think, has certain
rights.
Well,
if you don't recognize who your daughter really is, then are you who your son
well,
really
I mean,
is.
Let's face it, he fathered a child who was identified on the birth certificate as one sex who now claims to be another sex.
Right.
If he finds that unsettling, can you blame him?
Right. Unsettling is one thing, but to not recognize it is another. Sandra, thank you so much for that.
Thanks for adding to our conversation, Sandra.
Yeah, but appreciate that.
You're
and
welcome.
I think you're going to see more of this in more ways under more circumstances where you have people that are slowly going to have to come around and recognize that being transgender is a real opportunity for folks to change to the gender that they actually identify with. A lot of parents have done it. Obviously, there's one parent who didn't. We have
so
one
suppose
text.
I told Oops. You I wanted you to call me something. Let's say I wanted you to call me Ginger Snap.
Okay.
I'm now Ginger Snap.
Okay.
And you
Joe
find
Ginger Snap.
You find this insulting for some reason, and you choose not to call me that.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be offended? Should I be in court over that? What triggers the fact that I want to call myself something that I have not been? And you're required to acknowledge that and abide by my decision. What if you choose not to?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that being transgender and earning respect and not being discriminated against are dead serious topics that don't need a frivolous example.
But are you being discriminated against by your father calling you or insisting that you are what you were born to be? Is that Doesn't he have a right to have his opinion, too? Does your right to change what you are trump his right not to accept it?
Well, apparently, in the eyes of this particular judge, that was a factor in a parental rights termination case.
Should now, it be?
There has to be more to it, and I don't think our listener said there wasn't more to it. The fact of the matter is that, a judge that...
Well, she said she tried to stay out of it as much
right,
as possible,
so,
and I don't blame her.
I think there is probably more to it, but nonetheless, a parent has got to be fully recognizing of who their son really is. Even if it's difficult, they don't agree with it, or maybe they don't think, for like that teacher used bogus Christian claims, which that's ridiculous.
Why is that bogus?
Well, I don't think the Christian faith goes out of their way to say, incidentally, in the public schools, if you get a student who's transitioned, that you shouldn't use their real pronouns. The public schools are to be an oasis where your faith doesn't dictate.
You and I discussed
the school
district
dictates activities at the school.
The opportunities for him to use personal pronouns when talking to the student would seem to be rather limited to me.
Well, right.
If he used the name, I'd say he had performed enough respect to certainly not lose his job over it.
The text starts with the bottom panel. Joe, if you would, please.
Okay. The teacher was fired without good cause, and I see a lawsuit in that school district's future. Unless that girl had all the plumbing and accessories altered, she is still a girl. If the teacher is calling her by the name she chooses to be called, where is the disrespect?
Yeah, I use the word disrespect. He was fired from the school district for discrimination. So in the eyes of all of the administrators and all of the school board, it rose to the level of discrimination. Joe and I aren't privy to precisely what that discrimination entailed, but the students said that they were hurt by it, that they
these
were...
The student felt
ostracized by it. The student was hurt. All of the administrators and all of the board and the superintendent felt as though it did rise to the level of discrimination, which is prohibited. So it has nothing to do with plumbing. It has nothing to do with respect. It has everything to do with the fact that this school district unanimously determined that this teacher's remarks discriminated, injured the student.
He didn't make any remarks. He talked to third parties, and only when the subject came up.
Right, but if those third parties happen to be your school board and your principal and your superintendent.
But he wasn't running around the community downgrading this person, and when he spoke to that person, he used the name they chose, and the guy got fired for something
right.
he didn't say because he has religious principles that he wanted to uphold.
I didn't say he said anything in the community, but when you're at work, you have to comply with the work rules. You can't go into some factory up in South Center Township and say, okay, I'm in charge here. I know lunch is supposed to be 15 minutes long. Now it's a half an hour. You cannot go around to your workplaces and announce as an employee that these are the rules. Al, you have to hold on. Stand by. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back, Joe. I'm in the right, right? Just no. say nothing if I'm in the right. Okay,
you're
I am.
Wrong.
Oh, okay. Joe was away from the microphone. I thought I caught him there. All right, 1-800-795-9565 if you'd like to call our conversation on this topic. Al from beautiful Northumberland, you are on the mark.
Well, you could call me Albert.
Okay.
But, you know,
if that's your choice, Albert, we'll be happy to call you whatever you want to be called.
I think Alberts are raccoons.
I'll say good morning either way.
Okay.
The discrimination could really be on both sides. Now, the guy that has religious beliefs and wants to call by their God-given sex and God-given Christian name could be very offended if they say, you can't call me that. I don't want to be called that because I want to go and be a girl that wants to be a boy, and now you're going to call me by a different name, and on top of that, you're going to have to find the right word to make me happy, or you're discriminating against me. So you're not going to find, I mean, you got discrimination on one end, and they want to be something they aren't, and they feel they should be it, or they want to go the God-given way, and that guy's getting discriminated against also.
But he willingly called the student by the name the student chose. He's fired because he didn't use the proper personal pronouns the student preferred.
To other people.
Well, what are the proper pronouns? They ought to put them out in public or put them on a bulletin board so we all know
those
what
are
they
easy.
Are so we don't offend
he
any of these
is the
guys.
Proper. He is the proper pronoun for a male.
What is
That's
the proper
simple.
Name?
He. He.
He.
That's
he
what it is.
He for a boy.
He or his. Okay.
Yeah. How about a net or that?
But that would be ignorant to call a kid an it. Come on.
Then that would be neutral,
right?
Because you're not really saying anything.
There are neutral pronouns out there. What do we remember? We talked about
or something like that.
A person,
right?
A person,
right?
Person named whatever.
Well, but if I never use a personal pronoun to refer to you, Al, if I always say when I'm talking about you, I say Al. Al from Northumberland. I don't say him. I don't say you. I say every time I refer to you, it's Al from Northumberland. How have I disrespected you?
Not at all, because I used to be the guy in the green truck, and I liked it because they knew what to look for when they wanted something done.
All right. Thank you, Al. Listen, I'm fighting for you on that left turn off Baldwin Boulevard. That should be permitted.
Well, that should be changed, too.
I agree. Thank you. You and I are in agreement on that.
In the meantime, Al, tickets are out there, buddy. Avoid them.
All right. Thank you, Al. Appreciate the call.
Send me a ticket in the mail, would you?
All right.
Stan, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting a short time. Go right ahead.
Good morning. There was no, unless that teacher is, affecting the person's grades or not ever calling on them or anything like that, I don't see any discrimination there. Just
yeah, that's not happening. Those two things you said aren't happening.
Okay, then where's the discrimination? Just because he chooses not to call the person by him, there's a whole bunch of them if you ever see. You know, pronouns that they're using these days, it would make absolutely no sense to me. Either he or she, if he prefers not to call the person a he, but uses a name, where's the discrimination? There is none.
Well, the district says there is some. It's happening.
Let's say the district's going to get sued.
Well, that could.
As they should.
Right. That's almost a certainty
right.
at this
now,
point. But this,
now,
so the district says that there are.
There's problems with this whole transgender thing. You know, out in Texas right now, there's a situation going on where a man and a woman got divorced. They had a kid, a boy. When the boy is with the mother, she forces him to dress in girl's clothes and calls him a girl's name and has taken him to, the kid's only 6 or 7 years old, taken him to a transitional therapist or whatever they call him, and that therapist that says, yes, he's transitioning, he wants to be a boy because of whatever they say. So they're going to start him on the hormones and stuff. But when the kid goes to his dad's place, the dad has been court-ordered. Now, this is court-ordered, not by choice, to that he cannot tell the boy that he cannot wear girls' clothes, he can only wear boys' clothes. So what he does is he lays out girls' clothes and boys' clothes. And the kid always goes to the boys' clothes. Always. And when he plays with the neighbors in that neighborhood, all the boys or girls, he plays as a boy. So the kid doesn't really want to be a girl, but his mother's forcing it down his throat. So, there's a lot of problem with parents here.
Where is this?
In Texas.
And what are I would assume the courts are involved in this some way.
Yes, they are.
And they've come down on the side of the mother?
Pretty much, yeah. They have ordered the father that he cannot, offer the kid, he cannot tell the kid that, or only offer boys' clothes when he goes to his house. He has to have both. He can't tell him he can't dress as a girl. He can't tell him he only has to dress as a boy. He can't say anything about that.
Why isn't he taking legal action?
What he does is he lays both clothes out, and the boy always chooses the boy's clothes.
All right, well, then why isn't he taking legal action against the mother? Because obviously the mother is the one who's forcing the child to do something the child doesn't want to do.
The mother has gone to this transitional therapist or something, and evidently they've gone to court, and a doctor's involved, so it must be correct, right?
So they're okay. Telling the doctor's telling the court that this child wants to be a girl when the father says all the evidence shows he wants to remain a boy.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah,
right,
now, there are two different cities. I think one of them's in Austin, and the other one's around Dallas.
Wow.
Somewhere, something like that. But,
these are one of the thousands discussions that have popped up since
the
debate.
This would happen in Texas, would you?
Thank you so much, Stan.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Joe, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
Hey, I'll get to it. A while back, Mark said about the teacher that we shouldn't judge. This is mostly directed at Mark to answer some questions for me to understand. That's what you... did say, right, that we're not supposed to judge?
Well, the school I think I may have said that, but the bottom line here for our discussion is the school district has judged or determined that the level of disrespect for this individual rises to discrimination. So it does hurt the student one way or another. The student said that he felt ostracized. So there's some action or activity or some conversation that we're not privy to, that it did rise to the level of discrimination, and the student sensed it and felt it, and that, so it was real, and the district, of course, confirmed it. So that's what's here, that there was actual discrimination taking place, and it's because the student's transgender. Does that answer your question?
Well, I thought that you did it more in a context towards the teacher himself, that he should not judge is what this young person.
Well, yeah, the student, the teacher, okay, yeah, that's true. The,
I thought you said that, but
right.
That's my understanding. Maybe others out there had the same or
right.
different.
The teacher is judging the student because he's using his Christian faith, which that's
right.
a bogus
yeah. okay,
argument
that's,
there, but
that's
anyway.
I was. And what I want to ask you is if you know the next passage in Luke, what says after that.
Which one?
About, and you shall not judge, or you shall be, and then you'll be judged.
Judge not that ye be not judged.
Right, that's Old Testament. That we should be the light of the world.
And condemn not. So someone is condemning someone else. They're condemning that man, and you shall not be condemned.
Well, this ain't a church. This is a school, so the rules apply. Same at the Catholic school, same at the...
But I thought you were saying about the teacher should not judge. So if it is or isn't that way, that there is a balancing condemn. So he is being condemned for his Christian, he is, and condemned in means to cause her to suffer or to declare to be wrong. You know, so that's, he's been condemned, but the Bible says don't condemn. So I know we can get back and forth, and as big as the Bible is and many philosophies through it, we can argue that, but I just wanted to balance that out, that it just doesn't say that you should not judge. It should not condemn people either. And this poor guy, for, you know, not just wanting to say him, her, or whatever that person wants to be at the time, I don't think he should lose his job over that. I think that is off the charts in punishment for what he actually did. And there are some parts that we don't know. I haven't read this story. I didn't.
Well, how about this?
Familiar with it. But I would like to ask you, too, that for Mark, that moving to the next segment, you said that you have to comply with work rules right before we went to the last break. And I believe I wrote it down. That's kind of the gist of it. You went a little bit longer.
Yeah, you do have to.
He did, right.
Yeah.
Right, so let's just say quickly, I'll try to get to it quick. The NFL buys in with the Army Services and the Armed Services and purchases time and money with them in 2010.
Right, they're big advertisers,
and the
U.S.
NFL
military.
Comes up with a rule that you'll stand at a, you know, with your helmet under your arm and your hand over your heart, and you shall stand there for the national anthem. That was how that all came about. So you have to comply with those, because those guys are at work at the moment.
Well, Mark didn't like that rule.
Colin Kaepernick can kneel, and you're on his side for that, but I don't understand how this guy can't do what he can do. So
yeah,
you have to comply with work rules. If you can explain that.
Mark, let's hear your answer.
Well, they don't match up. Kaepernick was in the NFL when there was no rule requiring kneeling.
No, that's not true. No, because that was inserted in the near 2010 first, because before that, a lot of teams didn't even come out for the national anthem. They were in there being coached and going over game plans, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on it.
All right, hold on, Joe. Here's your
answer. The national anthem came about because the NFL bought in with the armed services, and they thought, you know, this would be a good promotion to get kids interested and to join up.
All right, let me answer. Don't start again. He's just on hold. I didn't hang up. He's working for a private company, and they have their private rules. If an individual feels that they are out of compliance, or, you know, they feel strongly they want to kneel in out of compliance with the company's rules, the company can terminate them. And that's what they said they did de facto to Kaepernick, not that he got let go immediately for this, but that in the end he was blackballed by all the other teams. All right, Joe, you get 10 seconds to wrap up. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
I couldn't really hear, but I know I'm getting my 3 minutes and you have a commercial coming up, but I just kind of wanted to get your view on that, and I couldn't hear some of it. Thank you, man.
You bet. Well, thank you. Thanks for the discussion.
You obviously have flip-flopped.
I don't think so.
No, I believe
you have. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hey, on the
fact that you're standing on your head is a pretty good indicator.
Which, that would hurt you. You don't have any hair for padding there. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Finds out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I do, though. Go to the North 4th Street locations. Check out all the new Ford F-150 and the Ford F-250 trucks. Boy, they are nice. They got full-size beds. They got one with an 8-foot bed, more like a tuna boat than a truck. It's got a double cab, and I think that's the one that Tom Ertz is driving around. But I'll tell you what, it's perfect truck for me. It's red. It's got a power rear window, sunroom, leather on the interior.
Sunroom?
Sunroof.
Wow, must be big.
Oh, sunroom. That's a sunroom. Has a little heater. It's a three-season room, okay? It's in the back. But I'll tell you what, it's a perfect truck. But there is a vehicle for you at the Sunbury Motor Company, whether it's a brand-new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln, or a pre-owned vehicle that's gone through this 100-point check that they got. They got it lined up, and they were ready to see it. The Sunbury Motor Company, they would just love to talk to you. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, two callers, 45 seconds each, starting with Billy. You're on the mark. Go right ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Let me just get an incidental out of the way. Did I detect the voice of Mark Lawrence on that BJ's Steak and Rib House commercial?
No, that was not me.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm not
sure
Joe Pesci.
It sounded like it might have been. I just think on the last topic that we need to be able to make a
distinction here between compelled speech and speech that we don't allow. I don't think we should be compelling people to say things they believe are lies, which means you shouldn't be compelling people to say a man is a woman is a man, two people of the same sex that are homosexuals are married, just if you don't believe because of your religious basis that's not a true marriage, you should be required to call them married.
Yeah, but does that wall not come down when you go in the public school and they have a set of rules?
Well, the public school is part of the public, so no, that absolutely not. That should, the public needs to uphold that as well.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
Good comment, Billy. Thanks for calling.
Paul, we're not going to have time for you today. Please call back tomorrow. We'll pick up
You'll get the first call in the morning.
Yep, we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow. Plus, we're going to talk about Narcan. Is it a good idea to give it away for free? A lot of folks say no. This is WKOK Sunbury.